it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to put a great spotlight on the Southwest for this next 30 minutes, a very kind spotlight. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. And I wish all of you could have been here when we were starting the show so you could have seen us all dancing in studio. It's great music, and we have a lot of fun, and someday it's on the Mrs. Green's World team's bucket list that we will do all of these with video, so you'll get to see us having a blast in the show. So it's really, it'll be a really nice enhancement. So before we get started, a big shout out to the sponsor of this show and a great partner of Mrs. Green's World and a great partner in our community, Tucson Medical Center. They have been entrusted with the legacy. Can you imagine the responsibility of this? Of caring for members of our community when we are at our most vulnerable, and they continue the tradition of improving the health and well-being of the people of Southern Arizona in almost every way possible that I can think of. You name it, they've got a specialty, a program, they're supporting an event for it. They care about our community, and we care a lot about them. They're taking care of us. So once again, we're going to learn some wonderful things on this show, including another great example of TMC's commitment to our health and the health of their own staff. That it's, you know, charity begins at home, or all of this begins from within. So there, you're going to hear another example about that. So please join me in welcoming Jeanette Marais, Executive Director, and Ben's mom. And Laura, you know, I never asked you, is it Groenwald?
Yes.
Oh, I got it right. Whew, no pressure. Director of Education at Ben's Bells. Welcome, my friends. It really is wonderful to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's really going to be fun and informative. I always have to remember that part. So I know that probably hundreds of thousands of people around the country know about Ben's Bells. You've been doing a lot of work. It's not thousands. It's hundreds of thousands. But we have listeners all over the country. We have a huge base in Ohio, and people, you know, pockets of Mrs. Green's World listeners, and they don't know.
Sure.
So give us a sense of, you know, the overview of what it is and how it came to be.
Absolutely.
I never get tired of hearing this story.
Nobody does. Oh, well, thank you. Well, Ben of Ben's Bells is my son. He's my second son, and he died very suddenly and unexpectedly when he was nearly 3 years old. So as you can imagine, my family was sort of, you know, thrown into this just tremendous grief experience that I don't think anybody is really prepared for.
And everybody who's a parent dreads.
Exactly.
As the most, like, please God. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tremendously difficult loss. And I found myself not knowing really how to keep going. And I knew I needed to keep going. And what I started to understand in a way that I had never understood before was how powerful the connections through kindness were that I was getting from people. So people came in, and I always like to add courageous people came in, because I think that a mom who's lost a child is one of the most intimidating people out there. But people would come in and do things for me and my family. You know, they would bring us food. They would write beautiful cards. They would sit and listen to me. They would, you know, help drive my other son to school. And all of these seemingly small connections put together formed a really tremendously important support net under me and my family while we felt these really, really amazingly difficult feelings and this really intense sadness. And so I started understanding kindness in a much more sort of profound way. I think it's easy to think about kindness as being sort of soft and, you know, rainbows and butterflies and, you know, it's nice to be kind. But what I was experiencing was that kindness was life-saving, and that people were coming in and really, you know, showing sort of a skill set by being able to come in. So I started understanding kindness as a skill set, because there were definitely people who didn't also know what to do, right? And some people who didn't know what to do but found out what to do. At the same time, I realized that I needed everybody to treat me gently, including strangers, who, of course, couldn't look at me and know what I was going through. But strangers would hold open doors and smile and say good morning and let me into traffic. And each one of these connections, though seemingly small and maybe it's tempting to feel that they're insignificant, were so significant. So I wondered if people knew how powerful they were every time they chose one of those actions, every time they were intentionally kind, I think each of us would be more likely to perform acts of kindness because we would understand what a tremendous impact we were having on the world. And I think that makes people feel good. So Ben's Bells are these beautiful ceramic wind chimes, and we started making them in our garage with family and friends after Ben's death, and it was really cathartic to sit and work with Clay and talk in this group. And then on the first anniversary of Ben's death, we hung these beautiful wind chimes all around Tucson, just in public places, with a tag that says, take it home and remember to spread kindness. So you have found a Ben's Bell, you know, and this bell is for you. Take it home.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be bitter on the air that I still have not found one yet, but it's okay. We keep looking. I did have one delivered by Larry Finuff from Wells Fargo.
Oh, wonderful.
When you do that, you can sponsor a kindness, mm-hmm. and I'll show you where it's hanging in the house proudly.
I love it.
So no bitterness. Go on.
We've hung out almost 60,000 of them
now.
Oh,
great.
Yeah, I'm sure yours is just around the corner.
It's just around there waiting me. Can you just give like a zip code exactly. hint? And I know I've asked that before and you're like, no.
You're
kids, the only one that's asked that.
Kids ask me that. Kids ask me that after assemblies and stuff. They say, can you know, where? Like that would sort of ruin the fun.
It would ruin the fun. I want to find it on my own.
Yeah. So on the first anniversary of Ben's death, we hung out 400 Ben's Bells. And really that was sort of going to be it. But what happened was the people who found bells had stories to tell about why kindness was important to them and why the bell was symbolically significant to them. And so what we realized was that kindness is obviously a universal need, but also that people were really motivated to spend more time with it, right? And think about it more. And so since that time, and that's been 15 years ago now, this whole thing has just had an incredible organic momentum. And it's grown and grown and grown. And so from this symbolic Ben's Bell, we now, you know, the heart of the work we do is what we call kindness education. And we believe kindness is a skill set and that you can't learn a skill unless you focus on it and practice it and put it, you know, and try it out. And so we work in schools and businesses and in neighborhoods, and families can, you know, do their practices at home. And what we want to do is make kindness sort of in the air so that it becomes the practice of kindness just becomes part of our culture. And that when we say the intentional practice of kindness, people know what that means and they know how to engage in different things that will help us basically change some habits that we have as humans, right? Because of the evolution of our brain. That sometimes are destructive to us. So we want to understand why it's hard to be kind. How do we understand why it's hard to be kind? And then what do we do from there?
And you know, it's funny, I'm sitting here, you know, the tears are coming down. I haven't cried on the air very much, like in 10 years, maybe four times. But as a mother, you can't help be touched by the story unless you're like, you know, something's really wacky. But I was sitting here thinking about how what you have done has impacted my life and even impacted the presentation I gave at Borderlands the other night, because it's a consciousness of kindness. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us are kind in those things that you say. But I'll tell you what, kiddo, people don't understand how really widespread the presence and the branding of Ben's Bells is in Tucson. I mean, it is part of the matrix. And when I'm in a car, it's not always my best, and I'm not alone. I'm not really bad, but guess what? There's decals on the back of thousands of cars. I have one on my Chapman Mobile, which I don't put any stickers on, but I figure Chapman wants to be aligned with Be Kind, and it's a reminder. It's like, no, do not curse at that person, even though they won't hear you. Do not use profanity, Gina. But it's kind of like insidious.
It's this gentle pressure, right?
It's gentle pressure. I love this awareness about ourselves.
And then to be, you know, if I'm late for work and I'm racing to work, you know, it helps me remember, wait a second, it's not all about me.
Yeah, it's not
their
fault.
Other people's safety, right, should not be put at risk because I'm late, right? So it's trying to, that's what we mean by in the air. So the messaging's around. We can say, oh yeah, we're in this together. Okay, I can do better. Okay, what am I going to do so I'm not late and racing? You know, if we leave for work early, we actually let people in front of us in traffic. That's a completely different impact on the day of your community members. So, what our goal is for people to really think about this a lot. You know, that it's just a lens that they use, because kindness is a really wonderful sort of overarching lens to see the world, right? When you talk about care for yourself, care for others, care for the planet, you can use kindness as a way to think about that. You know, is what I'm doing kind?
Kind, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just, I mean, it does matter. Especially, like, the biggest challenge for me, I'm telling you right now, is when I call about an issue on the phone and I get someone who has a really thick accent. And I have to sit there. I have a kindness bell right by my computer. Sometimes I touch it because it's a touchstone, or I have a heart by my, and I'm like, be nice, be nice. It's their job. Mm-hmm. It's not their fault that they have a thick accent and some company hired them to troubleshoot my problem. So it's really hard. And Laura, I'm sure in reflection, heard me reflect a lot of the kindness principles without me even intentionally doing that. Oh, it's a Ben Bell's thing, so I'm going to incorporate it. It's become a part of my DNA, and that's what's happened for lots of us who have exposure to Ben's Bell's and kindness. Agreed?
Absolutely. We even heard a story. It was a short editorial in the local newspaper written by somebody who was riding his bicycle on a really hot day in August, and he said he had pulled up at a stoplight, and a car pulled up next to him, rolled down the window, and offered him some water. And he said, oh, I'm okay, I've got some water and I'm getting close to home. And the car pulled away and he saw the Be Kind, the green Be Kind sticker, flower sticker on the back. And he said, it really works.
It's just a touchstone. It does work. It reminds you of that. Which then leads me to, and you know, I just one other thing. I know this is not what the show's about, but we're friends and it goes where it goes. You know what I mean? What has to be said comes out. But I thought of you after the shooting a couple of weeks ago, because the last time you sat in that chair, Dave Sethi was in the other one, and you were going to Sandy Hook.
Right.
You were going, and 10 people went, and now you have an office there. You have spread the kindness there. You have an office in Phoenix. So it was just, it's just, you know, we can keep on spreading the kindness message. I think we need it now more than when you were sitting in that chair.
We desperately need it. And I think, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it's in deep pain that we realize what our values really are and what really matters. You know, sometimes in that depth of pain, we cut away at some of the superficial things that we think are important, and we get right down to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's awful that it takes this sort of pain to get us there. But I really do believe there is an awareness around, you know, we are in this together. We need to take care of each other better.
Man, and the earth. I always have to say
absolutely.
That. So what also I think is this is a perfect segue to talk about what's going on between kindness colleagues with Ben's Bells and TMC. The other thing that I have so much respect for is, yes, there's that, and I'm not minimizing, intentional kindness and being conscious of it and being proactive, but you have curriculum that really makes it what I call systemic. Mm-hmm. So you have the colleagues program, you have programs in schools. Let's talk about the Kind Colleagues program. Began in 2014. Where's the time going? Now I always think, oh yeah, I was 54 then. I mean, it's like, now that I'm this age, it's like, oh yeah, how old was I? But that's it's going strong. Tell us about that.
Well, we want it to be all throughout the community, this practice. So we want, you know, we don't want people to think, oh, you know, kindness is something that children practice. No, we want people to understand that this is an awareness that all of us need to start, you know, improving upon. And that when we do that throughout the whole community, it keeps reinforcing itself. So we want to have programming that's accessible to individuals and families and neighborhoods and schools and businesses. And
systemic.
So that when a child leaves school campus, it's reinforced on the roads through the stickers. Their parent comes home from work, is using a similar kind of language with them. Because these sort of habits that we're talking about, you know, some of this sort of reactive behavior we have and so are not easy to change. And so we really need to do this together. So Kind Colleagues is the way that we do that at workplaces. And there's a tremendous amount of science behind this stuff. And so
I loved that when I was reading to prepare. It's like, this is not like airy-fairy, people.
It's not airy-fairy.
This is proven.
Exactly. So we can, with the Be kind frame, you know, we can bring in all of these resources that help people understand this work and understand how it applies to them.
So, Laura, what's your role in all this? Because to me, what a responsibility as director of education. Is there a more stressful place you can think of ongoing than a hospital? I can't. Like, even a police station, there's routine, there's this, there's that. It's not minimizing it. There's, you know, fire department. But in a hospital, 24/7. It's like, it's a stress nest. So,
and people come in already feeling nervous, worried, and anxious when they're going to a hospital.
Absolutely.
It's rare that you're going into a hospital feeling unadulterated joy. Maybe if you're going to greet the birth of a child.
Exactly. That's the only thing.
But most of the time, you're worried about someone who's there. And so the staff who are working in a hospital like TMC,
the pressure,
have a lot of care that they have to be giving. And if they don't know how to take care of themselves too, then they get compassion fatigue because they're giving all their compassion to their patients. And then they don't have the resources to practice self-kindness and to take care of each other as a staff. So I just was bringing together the new fourth edition of Kind Colleagues. We added a lot of great new things to the program, a lot of new science, evidence-based practices, articles on the neuroscience of trust informed the new edition. We've got new information that came out just at the end of 2017 from Vivek Murthy, the former U.S. Surgeon General, about the loneliness epidemic in the United States. 40% of American adults report feeling lonely, and 50% of CEOs report feeling lonely in their role. So we really believe that this kind of framework can change the conversations that people are having.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does. So how do you, I'm interested a little bit in the structure. TMC, huge, hundreds of employees, thousands. I forget. I mean, I should know. They're a great client and partner, but how do you implement it so that it starts seeping in and becomes integrated?
Well, the program is really designed for the people within the institution to take the information, and they know best what their other employees and staff need. So we've got a couple liaisons at TMC, Mary and Amy, who are taking the information. They're looking at from department to department, what does someone need in the radiology lab versus what does someone need in the billing department?
So great. It's not a blanket.
It's not.
No, that's awesome. Yeah.
And the materials are set up to have 9 different categories, so from, and 12 months worth of programming. So from month to month, a single department or the whole institution could choose, we are going to focus this month, we're really going to think about metacognition, the idea of thinking about our thinking. And what does that mean? And how do we...
And who knows what metacognition means right now? Just
thinking
that's
about
a new
your
word
thinking.
For me. Thinking
exactly.
about your thinking.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
an awareness thing.
It's
Got
an
awareness
it.
Thing.
Got
and
it.
We really want and know that we need to start by building self-awareness. Once we start building self-awareness of what's going on inside our brains, understanding how our mind works, how we can improve our kind mind, then we can start building awareness of others. So if I know that I'm coming in with a certain kind of daily threat that triggers me and I'm working in TMC, I build that self-awareness and then I can draw from some of the strategies in Kind Campus, Kind Colleagues in terms of calming and behavior regulation so that I can be there for my patients and my colleagues. And maybe it even makes me feel that I can be vulnerable and tell them what's going on so we can support each other better too.
So part of it is, it's kind of like the green teams that I do. You find the champions and you train them and then they become the stewards on campus or in the company when you're not there. They're implementing the strategies and providing the tools. And I love that it's so custom. It's not a cookie cutter.
Yeah, that's exactly how all of our stuff works, is that we provide programming and ideas and science, and then the people themselves have to bring it to life. So Ben's Balls isn't going out and doing this work. The people in the hospital are doing this work. And the exciting thing that you see in a hospital like TMC, and TMC has been so good about this, is that, you know, we have a Kind Campus program in schools where all these children are doing this. Well, those kids are patients at TMC. And so when they see the familiar Be Kind messaging at TMC, it's actually, you know, comforting for them. TMC has done some really creative stuff like, you know, giving patients the small Be Kind sticker and encouraging them to give that to the caregiver. So then you have the patient showing, you know, giving a a kind sort of recognition to their caregivers, and the just the reciprocal acknowledgement of our need to sort of care for each other is represented through those actions. So TMC has been really good about just churning this message, and this is what we talk about. It needs to be sort of alive, the whole practice of kindness, and you see it come together and end up being a really comforting thing in a time of stress.
And you know, I see it. I am just like smitten with the children's clinics, the poorest of the poor, the multiple handicaps, the kindness there. I know you know this. They have a whole thing going on there. And what I love is the staff. And this is probably part of the TMC, they write on this board what someone on the staff did, or a parent, or someone that was kind to them, and they recognize that person.
Absolutely.
And talk about creating an atmosphere of, you know, I just went to a presentation last night on feng shui in low-income housing. Well, don't think that those kind of things and thoughts and messages and where your eyes are drawn, it permeates the culture.
Right, and that's a gratitude practice as well. So we consider gratitude a kindness practice. And we have a ton of evidence about what, you know, being grateful and understanding what good things are going on in your life, what sort of effect that has.
So what about TMC? How do you recognize it and reward it? Is that part of it too? Because that's nice.
Well,
that's always nice.
I mean, let me say first that as a parent who has had a son who's needed to go to TMC for care, it is hugely reassuring to see that Be Kind flower there and to know that the staff has been trained in these practices. I mean, it is just hugely meaningful. It made me feel so much more at home, so much more taken care of, so much more like I could trust the caregivers, and the care that you get there is really, really amazing. So I wanted to make sure that I included that. But I think what we see is that the staff then learns to have different conversations with each other, or to frame the conversations differently. In fact, we had one staff member talking with us about how she was standing around with a group of colleagues, and she was feeling the conversation get a little bit tense, and she happened to glance over and see one of her colleagues on their badge reel. On the back, they had a Be Kind flower, and it gave her that visual reminder to practice metacognition. So Gina, she thought about her thinking.
Metacognition, got it. New word here. I'll probably be using it on the next show.
It's very cool.
Practice it all week. And then she was able to calm herself down in her brain and be more present in the moment and not get caught up in that defensiveness that her brain was telling her she needed to do.
Right, right.
So that, the visual reminder for me as a parent, for the kids who are there from schools where they recognize it, for the staff themselves, it really acts as something that can help us calm and regulate our behavior and then reach out and connect better and realize we are all doing this together. And I think that example from children's clinics, that's doing it together too. If the parents and the caregivers are all recognizing each other, that's the kind of connection, having kindness permeating in the air that we really love to see.
You know, I cry at, you know, at the drop of a hat, and I'm proud of it. Like, I have a big open heart.
Yes.
I got over it a long time ago when a medicine man said to me, "You're crying for all of those of us who can't." I've never gone to the children's clinic and not cried. I usually go in the bathroom, but it is a kind place to visit.
Doing amazing, amazing work, and we are really honored to work with them. I have a child who received services there, and it was just, it's a really special place. And that kind of kindness really makes a difference in care. It really makes a difference.
Everything in healing and your overall well-being and all of that. I'm sure that's part of the research.
Exactly.
When you do it, you show up better in the world. It's a gift you give yourself. That's
absolutely
how I feel. It's not out there. That's the yin and the yang of climate change. It starts in here. Mm-hmm. So what about, but they did some kind of challenge, didn't they? In 2016, I got some notes
on that.
The Be
Kind challenge.
How great is that?
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're all competitive at some level. So what did that look like in a kind way?
So that was happening all throughout our programming. So, but I can talk about Tucson specifically, in schools, in businesses, at the University of Arizona. And really the idea is that we want people to start noticing kindness. So when we're talking about little children, we're actually teaching them to understand what kindness looks like, right? So what does it mean to be kind? What does it look like? And so looking for kindness and then being able to articulate that or write it down. But also that noticing of kindness helps us feel gratitude for the good things that are happening, because of the way our brain is, it's it's easy for us just to notice threat and then sort of focus on that threat, right?
That's it accelerates meta-learning.
Right, that negativity bias.
Metacognition.
Metacognition. You're going to love that. We're going to send you some stuff on that. But so the idea is that people are challenged to notice kindness, and when they notice it, to write it down on a strip of paper that becomes a loop in a paper chain. So TMC started it, and then in their cafeteria, their huge paper chain was like looping around it. So that becomes a visual representation of all of these kindnesses that are happening around the hospital, right? And then at the end of the year, we virtually joined all of the chains from all the schools and businesses and everything and had about 10 miles worth of chain, right? So think about all of that kindness that's happening, because in our stressful times, it's easy to forget the goodness. And we really need to remember the goodness, not in a false positive way or in a Pollyanna way, but in a, we need to remember and engage in that to energize us to be able to do the work we need to do.
So what sets this apart from other like training and coaching? There's so many of them out there. We'll go in and, you know, we'll make your organization the most productive, the most this, the most that. It is very scientific. It is research-based. But what sets this apart? Is it the underpinning of kindness, the approach? What is it? You're the experts.
I think it's because it's so bottom-up. It's so... You know, it's not like a mandate from human resources or a mandate from above.
It's not training.
Right. And it doesn't have weird language with it, right? It doesn't have, trademarked language and, you know, here's a formulaic a task list that you have to do. But it's rather about making this part of the culture, about having conversations about it. And it's very flexible and is able to fit in people's different workplaces, cultures as well.
Yeah, and I would add to that, and I mentioned this earlier, we've got 9 different categories each month and 12 months worth of programming. So any workplace such as TMC can really pick and choose what's going to resonate with them. And we had a kind colleague, Hotel Congress and Maynard's actually.
Todd's going to love it. I figure out a shout out for him. His ego is going to be over the top, but he is really a kind person, and he's pushing the green initiative.
And good. That's a good example of how kind colleagues can fit with all different types of businesses. So Todd's business is, you know, a hotel and a restaurant, and then obviously TMC is a big healthcare organization. So it's really
flexible.
What
Hotel Congress found is that they planned to do one of the activities for 1 month, and it was going so well, they kept doing it. So we love that there's flexibility to the programming, that people can take ownership over it. They can really make it their own. It also gives this language that is, it's the science-based language that helps us understand what's going on inside our brain, but that also doesn't make us more defensive. And it's this kind of neutral framework and neutral language.
Common humanity.
Common humanity, where we can talk to each other. We need each other as a species to survive. And I think we know that on a basic level, but as a reminder, we need each other to do this best, that is really helpful, and that's part of what the programming does too.
And you know, I know this, and I know you guys know this. If you were in every school in our country, it would change the world. That's not that I'm not mincing words. It would change the world. I believe Parkland wouldn't have happened. And that's a bold statement, because that is one of the biggest tragedies in my lifetime. So if people had this curriculum and the tools and the training and the metacognition, it's not funny, but if we had that, you know, and at Oregon when all this came out about Sean Miller, it's interesting how insidious you guys are for me, because the kids from Oregon had these signs all against Aiton, horrible, mean, cruel signs, when it's coming out he didn't even do anything. And I thought, they didn't get the kind memo. It was rude and awful, and they booed him, and he's a human being. It upset me so much I turned the game off. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is one Wildcat fan here, but that's not kind. And kids, man, oof, it's horrible.
I think there's more temptations to be unkind than at that like broader cultural level.
Yes,
right.
There's so many...
And reinforcement for it.
So much reinforcement for it, to be mean, to be rude, to be sarcastic all the time. And we really, really do need this antidote as a reminder that we thrive when we connect.
And that's what we're trying to do, is sort of change the conversation from kids being, oh, it's cool to be unkind, to it's cool to be kind. And then once, you know, once kids start doing that, and once, you know, businesses start employing kindness practices and showing that that actually affects the bottom line in a good way, then that's when we'll start seeing some change.
And, you know, it's just, it's not kind that we have to end this show. It's like,
we should just go on and on.
I mean, I really want to cut out the ending, but I'm doing that too much lately. And my team is saying, you know, it doesn't fit into the whatever. But anyway, you can find everything you want to know. If you listen to this, you know you want to know more about bensbells.org and figure out a way for you to get involved. Your life will be better for it. My shows are up on the website if you want to know what's coming up. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.